Father, the songs that we've just been singing kind of say it all, really. We thank you that you're really good, that you're always good. No matter what we go through, you're good. You never change. Your love is constant. Your love is beyond what we can humanly analyze. Even to express our love and gratitude to you, Father, we run out of words. And Holy Spirit, I just ask you to remain here. I feel your presence now, and I just ask you to stay here. Lord, that you would take the words that you put on your servant's heart. I just pray, Father, it would bear fruit. Jesus, we love you. We adore you. Sometimes we don't display that in what we do and say, but we really do love you. And we thank you, Father, that this gathering this morning is about you, that you are central. So I just pray that as we hear your voice, as we hear your words spoken this morning, as you speak to us, you'd help us to be conscious of you and not each other. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to come now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's a bit scary standing up here. But the presence of God is really strong here this morning. He's such a good, good God. He really is. Well, my topic this morning is being a friend of God. And I couldn't have a better topic to talk on. I've got screeds and screeds of stuff on it. And I thought this morning I just wanted to share something simple and something fresh. So I decided that I'd go to the dictionary and instead of Google, because I knew that if I went into Google, I'd get so much information, I'd get into a state of overload, right? Amen? So I just felt that I wanted to get something simple and straightforward. And so this is what I found in the little Collins dictionary at home. You guys probably don't have dictionaries, but I'm old enough to know that I need one. I have one sitting on my desk, and I always need to look up words because I'm not a very good speller. And, yeah. So anyway, this is what it said about being a friend. A person with whom one is on terms of mutual affection, a helper, a sympathizer. And I thought, now that's a pretty good start. As if friendship is not about an acquaintance, or having an acquaintance. For a friendship to develop or to grow, it's got and to be sustainable and to be mutual and affectionate, we must give it time. Actually, I think love is spelt T-I-M-E. Now, T could be for time or thanksgiving or trust. I could be for intimacy or affection. M could be for moments, or it could be for maintaining, because you have to work at it. And E, I think, could be for energy or effort or encouragement. It's really simple. If we're going to be somebody's friend, we have to invest time in order to have a relationship. I've really enjoyed the exposition that we've done in the last couple of months on John's Gospel. It's really been very special to me, actually, and opened up my eyes to a whole lot of things because John had a unique relationship with Jesus. He was a special friend of Jesus. I'm quite envious. You know, they say that he may have been only 14 when Jesus said, "Hey, come and follow me." But he did follow Jesus. And I can imagine him as a young teenager watching every move of Jesus and trying to emulate those moves. He was so passionate about him. And the word says that Jesus loved him. John spent a lot of time with him. So obviously had a very unique relationship with him. You know, as I've been milling over what to share this morning, there's been so many thoughts just going through my mind. It's like, it's kind of come to rest on this one thing. The simplicity of being a friend of God, a friend of Jesus, means I have to spend, and you've guessed it, I've said it, I've got to spend time with him. Enjoying time with him. It's not like I've got to spend time with him, but enjoying time with him. Hanging out with him. Coming into his presence. We need to spend time with him to allow him to know us and for us to know him. This is such obvious stuff. In short, to have this mutual affection that it talked about in the dictionary. You know, I've been meeting with a lot of people. I've got this agenda to meet with all the guys in the church. I was hoping to meet with all you guys before Christmas, but I'm kind of running short of that. I don't know how many, 50 people on my list. I think Rosemary's got something like 50 women on her list. And anyway, but it's been, I've just loved meeting with the different guys. And this last week has been no exception. I think I've met with something like five or six people. Intermixed in that was a pastor from one of the biggest churches in Wellington, together with a priest from another church. But the interesting thing is that it's like we get around to talking about all sorts of stuff. We talk about work, about home, about cars, about family. But we also get to talk about our relationship with God, Father, and his Son, Jesus. And invariably the conversation seems to swing around to what you might call prayer time, quiet time, what I call hanging out time. It seems to go that way. And it seems that the common theme that's coming through about every situation is this, that it's just really difficult to find time. And in the busyness of family life, with children, with work, helping my wife, looking after my wife, cooking meals. I'm just putting that in there because hello, Chrissy, I'm learning to cook. I stuffed up the asparagus. I have to tell you this. I'm going to confess. I have to fess up here. I cooked some asparagus, and I thought you actually broke the curly ends off it, the plant. So I broke those off and put the others in. And I'm doing steaming, right? I'm steaming vegetables. But apparently that's not the way you do it. So, look, and apparently my fish, the fish that I put it stank the whole house out. But it did taste really, nice. So look, I do understand the busyness of life, and but it's like family life, house maintenance, church life. Everything is just so demanding. It's almost like we end up with this big sinkhole. And truly, I do understand it because I know when we had the little guys staying around with our place, and I love having the little guys with their sleepover. It's like, it's great, but like 5 o'clock in the morning, Grandpa, knock, knock, knock. Grandpa, is it time to get up? And we're actually allowed to watch TV, so it's like, no, just come and see me in another 2 hours. And off they'd go in an hour's time. Grandpa, is it time to get up? And so I do understand what it's like. It's really difficult to find time to spend and space, to find a place, a space, and a time to be still and know that I am God or that he is God. So today I thought I'd just share a couple of things that I've found helpful. Actually, I was sharing with these things with Wayne during the week, and he said, you've got to talk about that on Sunday. I thought, they're so simple, Wayne. He said, no, but he said, he knows this because he's worked as an executive for big companies, and the thing is, it's true. We need to simplify things. And I think I've got some little pearls that I'm hoping will be helpful today. At the outset, I want to say this, though, that there is no set formula. I've been telling the guys this. We're all different. Our lovely Heavenly Father knows that we're different, but he's longing to hang out with us one-on-one, not even as couples. He just wants to hang out with you because he wants a relationship with you. He's hungry for it. And the point is here, just do something. Don't beat yourself up or set yourself a goal where I'm going to have these 2 hour times with God every day, and then you fall short because you can only find 2 minutes or 5 minutes. Don't beat yourself up about it, because He knows. The other thing is, don't let the busyness of life rob you of the richest friendship you can ever have. And I'm sharing with you some things that I wish that I'd known that I'd known when I was your age, and it's taken years for me. But I love Him. I so love Him, and I so love hanging out with Him. And I listen to His voice, and I'm learning to listen to the voice and get a clearer understanding of what He's saying. Don't let life rob you of this friendship. You know, this morning He surprised me. I was having my quiet time, and I do jealously guard that time, and I try not to think about, I love you guys, but I try not to think about you guys. I've got another time and place if I'm praying for individuals or I'm praying for the church. There's another place. But that time and space for me is for me. It's a time and space where the Father's going to lavish His love on me. Amen? That's what I want. But this morning, it sort of gave me a surprise. He sort of had this word, and this is what I saw. I could see this like shafts of rain coming down on an angle over people. And the shafts of light or the rain were so beautiful, so fine, so like very, very fine glass, multicolored, coming down and hitting the earth. It was beautiful. And I see all these people lying under this rain, getting soaking wet, enjoying it, lying back. And I thought, what is this about? And I felt the Lord say some things to me. I felt Him say this. I felt the Lord say that this is the spring rain. This is spring rains of promise. But people have been too busy to stop and soak in it. Spring rain of His presence. And all we have to do is stop, rest, and soak in it. And to enjoy getting wet, not to put an umbrella up, not to put a raincoat on, not to cover it. Just to enjoy it. I sensed Him saying that people are tired of lots of words, of information, that their souls and their inner being is hungry for simple words. Simple words of love and affirmation. And He is the source of these words. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Him. As we've said, for any relationship to grow and to be meaningful, we have to devote time to it. We need to be, I think, in the presence of that person. Now, I Skype a number of guys around the world. I don't know why they want to talk to me, but they do. I guess it's because I'm an old guy and they're young. So I speak to guys in Lithuania, in India, and in China and other places. And this is a Skype session. But I've met these guys one-on-one. I've spoken to them. They're my friends. So the relationship, even though I can continue with Skyping, is not dependent on cyberspace. And I think cyberspace is okay. But we can end up adopting that in our own daily lives where we start treating people in cyberspace, you know, with emails and all that sort of junk, when in actual fact, we need to have company with them, to sit with them. Sitting next to somebody, as Jeff Malcolm shared a few weeks ago, is a really cool thing because you see them from a distance. Just look at the person next to you for a second. Go on. I mean, you see them from a different perspective, right? It's different, right? You go and have a coffee with them, or you chat with them. You go and play some sport with them, go mountain biking, eh, Henry, and games, and you know, it enhances a relationship. That's what it's all about. So as we do that with our kids, our wives. It's the same with Jesus and the Father. He longs for our friendship. In fact, He's hungering for it. And this is what Jesus' coming was all about. It's like, yes, I know he came to free us from sin, but we need to go beyond this. It's beyond that cross. We can step into the promises that he has now. We can stand on the banks of the river and look at the promised land, or we can walk through the, as it talks about with Ezekiel, through the waters and actually enjoy the promises that he has for us now, right? So Jesus came to restore the relationship that he had with Adam in the garden, where he communed with him. He walked with them. They were buddies. They loved each other. That's what he wants. He restored direct access. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through anybody. He gives us direct access. You can do that right where you're sitting right now, direct access to the Father. In actual fact, I think he wants a face-to-face encounter with us. That's what I'm hungry for. I am hungry for more because there is more. You know, young John seemed to understand this. Young John, Gospel of John. Moses, it talks about that in Exodus 33, was a friend of God. And Abraham and David and Solomon, these were all friends of God. And this was under the old covenant. So we've got no excuse under the new covenant, people. We could come straight into it. In those days, you know, they also had to wear cloaks and Moses had to wear something over his head because he's so glowing with the love of God. Man, I'd like that. I'd like people to say, cover your face up. We can't look at you. The presence of God is on you. But each of these men, as friends of God, learned to hear his voice. And so can you, and so can I. Every born-again believer is geared to hear the voice of God. We'll come back to some little things in a minute. In the Gospel of John, John 15, it talks about, I am the vine and you are the branches. We shared about that a few weeks ago. He is the vine, and we're called to abide in him. Now, abiding in him is about a relationship. It's simple. Abiding with the Father, hanging out with him. Anyway, this is what John 15 says. You are friends if you do what I command. So what does he command? That we love one another as he loves us. Well, the way I see it, in order to love like he loves, in order to love each other means that we need to be his friend. We hang out with him and have this ongoing relationship, spending time with him. Then we not only become his friends, but we naturally learn to love each other. We fall in love with him. So being his friend, a friend of God, is going to require time. It's going to require some intimacy. Guys, it's okay to have intimacy with Jesus. The Father modeled it perfectly. Sometimes we don't like that word. Three, we have to maintain this relationship. We have to work at it. There's got to be moments when we spend time with him. And E, we need to have and to make an effort and apply some energy here. You know, discovering his presence daily, I've found to be the surest way to stay in love with him. Makes me want to cry. I really do love him. And I hunger for more and more of him. My days commence with thanksgiving and worship. And telling him instead of, and talking to him and listening to him. My shower time is a time of thanksgiving. It's a time when I put my hand on my head and I'll say to the Lord, anything that I said yesterday to anybody that's not of you, Anything that anybody has said about me, that's not of you. I refute it in Jesus' name. I will not accept it. I will not accept it for Chrissy. I will not accept it for my family, and I name them. But anything that is of you, that's beautiful, that's pure, that's of sound report, that is of excellence, I accept that, and I pray that it'll grow and bear fruit in my life. Then I put my hand on my heart and I said, Lord, make my heart strong. Because I've had some promises over my life. And I said, Lord, make me strong. Give me the energy and zeal of somebody 40 years younger than me. And more than that. I don't want to be sitting in an old chair going to sleep. You give me the energy. If these guys are going to run in CV, I'm going to run faster. And we found that out yesterday when we were working at Nicholas's place. It was the young men that were pushing the barrows, not me. And they kept saying, hey, getting on, Dad? You okay? Here, stop and take a drink. Have a drink. It's just take it easy. But it was the young guys that did all the physical work. But I want to have that energy. So, Father, make my heart strong. Make me strong. Like Bill Johnson says, for me, my quiet times or prayer times are more about discovering how wonderful and how lovely and how precious is the one who has given everything. Everything for me, rather than the needs and issues. I think it was Derek Prince that said if he had 10 minutes in a day, just 10 minutes, he would spend 8 minutes worshipping and praising the glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And for 2 minutes, he said, it's amazing what you can cover in 2 minutes when you're trying to go through the things that you actually need. Amazing what you can cover. For me, I've found that I just love being in His presence. All else seems to fade whilst there. Time seems to stand still, and often it does in reality. And I come out of that place refreshed, peaceful, loved, and I hope more loving, and I hope a nice person to be around. I let my Father lavish His love on me. And I found occasions when I've had my quiet time and I've been so absorbed writing up my journal, and this is my little journal here. I've been so busy writing up my journal that I've realized I've actually already suddenly come into His presence. And I said, Lord, I want confirmation that I've come into Your presence. And this happened just again a couple of days ago. And I've only got a couple of minutes left, and within 2 minutes, there's this engagement or this connection with the Father, and that 2 minutes truly feels like 2 hours. How can you make time stand still? And sometimes I said, Lord, I want to stay here. Like this morning, I really did want to stay there. It was a lovely place. But He said, you've got to go because you're preaching this morning. He's pretty practical. So this is the practical thing now, dialing down, okay, if you're taking notes. The first thing is get comfortable. Find a place and some space away from the crowd. Now, this could be, I don't know where it's going to be. It could be in the bush, it could be in your car, it could be at work. I don't know where. But find a place and a space. Get a coffee if you like a cup of coffee. Get a cushion. I'm a flat on the floor man, okay? I lie on the ground, you know? I'm down here. Oh, Lord, get down here. I'll probably never get up. But I love it down here. I sit down here, Lord. I just love being down there. I have my notebook there. Oops, I know what it's so good down there. And I got cushions around me. And it's a beautiful place. But you'll have your... I couldn't do that when we had all the kids running around the place. I can do that now, right? But get comfortable. If coffee and putting on some worship music, that does it for you. Do it. Then I have my notebook handy. And I have my word for... Now, you could use word for the day. You could use a little thing like I've got called Daily Light, which a 90-year-old gave... lady gave me years ago. It's all scribbled and falling apart. But, you know, that I read that every day, and the Lord will highlight some verses for me, and I meditate on those verses. But get something to help you. It could be reading through. I know a guy that used to read Proverbs in the morning, a psalm in the morning, and a proverb in the evening. Get something that works for you. Hang out with him. Then I invite the Holy Spirit to come. This is the key. 22nd of September 2006, I found that this is the key. And the Lord told me after I experienced this that I needed to preach and teach this, and that's what I'm doing today. But the key is inviting the Holy Spirit to come and do it. People, amen? Your Holy Spirit, I've got 2 minutes. Would you please come and prepare a place and some space? And I want to come into the presence of the Father. Would you make time stand still? And he does that. And I wait for him to do it. It's like these two magnets coming together. All of a sudden, boom, and I'm in his presence. And I was talking to some young people over in Singapore about this. Sam and Nancy, remember this, just recently. And they said, how can you ask the Holy Spirit to do this? I said, well, because they said, surely you've got to go and confess your sin. And I said, no, you don't. You're already a Christian. You don't have to go through all those rituals. You don't have to go sackcloth and ashes. That's Old Testament thinking. You just invite the Holy Spirit to come. And he comes. And he prepares a place for you. And I wait until it happens. If it doesn't happen, I stay and I wait. But he never, ever disappoints me. Now, keep a notebook handy. People said, oh, the devil's going to give you a whole lot of these thoughts. Well, you know what? It could be that the Lord has given you some ideas. So you keep a notebook handy. This could be the creative page. This could be the place. I think this is what God's telling me. Don't be afraid to say, I sense this is what the Lord is saying to me. Martin, I love you. My dear son, I love you. I adore you. I want to lavish my love on you. I'm going to continue going go before you. I'm going to look after Chrissy. I'm going to look after your family. I'm going to heap riches on you. I'm going to allow the... And I write these things down. I mean, you don't have to show them to anybody. That's how you're hearing from God. He could be speaking to you. He more than likely is speaking to you. Oh, what about work? Well, okay, I've got to go and meet the chief executive of Contact Energy tomorrow, and I need to prepare a paper for him or whatever it is. So you write. He's prompting something. Maybe you've got to write. So empty him. Write those things down. He might give you a creative idea, somebody to go and get a new contract with. I don't know, but write it down. Get rid of it. But come right back into that place where you're hearing from him. And listen to him. You don't need ours. You just need to allow some space and a place. It's funny, when we were over in Bethel, about 18 months ago, I think now, we went to their prayer room there. It was a beautiful place. And I wrote down a whole lot of stuff that I felt the Lord telling me, so I wrote the stuff down. We went to church the next morning, and Eric, Bill Johnson's son, got up to preach, and guess what he preached on? He'd been sitting on it for 2 years. He spoke on places and spaces in the presence of God. Amen. Somebody understands this. You know, this is the cool thing. He knows the time that we have. Okay? But he is in control of the time. And as I said before, he can make it stand still. Absolutely. You know, he doesn't require a lot of effort, but he does require effort. We just let the Holy Spirit take control and invite him to come. Remember, he wants to get to know you. He adores you. He spins over you. It talks about that in Ezekiel. He spins over you. And he longs to reflect his boundless love on us. Perfect love on us and through us. And he longs to see the promises as you get everybody here and your children. Every one of us has got creative promises over us. And he longs to see those fulfilled in our lives. My heart is bent towards his presence. Really, it's bigger than any answers I might be seeking or things that I might be wanting. There's a person to be discovered, to be known by daily. He must be enjoyed and discovered again and again and again. It's his idea in the first place. I can seek him only because he sought me and he found me. When I was in standard one, John 3:16, scripture in schools, and my parents were not Christians, he sought me. And he found me. And when I was 16 or 17, I recommitted my life to him because he sought me and found me. And he's led me on an incredible journey. And I wish I knew some of the things that I'm sharing with you now then. Because I had favor on my life. That's another story. But I didn't realize that it was his favor. And I had men, and I had promotion, and I had opportunities. Men that would look after me, that would promote me, and saw things that I didn't see. These are non-Christian people that I never saw in myself. Only looking back on it, say, you know, I couldn't have done that, but I did do it because there was favor on my life. And there's favor on your life. And he honors you and he adores you. And he has sought you and he has found you. And God is raising up a people of spirit and in truth who I believe are going to transform this city and transform this nation. In fact, more than that, they're going to reform the world. I believe that with all my heart. We've already had one person go from this church who's representing the government in a very high position in another country. That's just the start. Many others have. So there's honor and favor on your life. But it's going to come out of that place of his presence. Discovering his presence daily. He's new every morning is the surest way to stay in love. Psalm 16, verse 8, David seemed to understand this. I've set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. I mean, I feel that. I will not be shaken. In 16, verse 11, he said, in your presence is fullness of joy. It's good to giggle and have a jolly good laugh. In church, anytime. Your right hand there, and your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. How do I wrap up? It really is simple. I've kind of said it. A friend of God, he chases after you. He's not going to let you go. To develop a love relationship with the one who first loved us and has given everything, absolutely everything for us, we need to give him our time and our resources. T, time, trust. I, intimacy. Intimacy is always going to be part of a unique relationship. M, maintaining that. And the third thing is effort, but it's not you. It's inviting the Holy Spirit to come and do the stuff through you. So that's me. I'm kind of done.